Hey y'all.
Hello everyone.
Welcome back to Her Platform Podcast, episode 4, part 3 of the Black Lives Matter conversation.
We hope everyone is enjoying their day so far and thank y'all for tuning in. Before we get into this episode, y'all know what's first.
Quote of the day. The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman, by Malcolm X. He said this now famous quote May 22nd, 1962. I relate to this a lot because, of course, I am a black woman. And first of all, being a woman in this country is hard enough because for some reason, some men, not all, think that they are God's gift to earth and women are beneath them. So it's that as well as with being black where we aren't even seen as an equal race to others. And maybe also how harshly our fellow black people put us down, both men and women. It's like disrespect coming from all angles at this point. Black women also will be the first people to uphold a movement and defend our brothers, but in many cases, we haven't gotten that same respect. What's your quote of the day, Ashley?
My quote is, "Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced," said by James Baldwin. This quote comes from his unfinished book, Remember This House. He wasn't able to finish and publish the manuscript because he passed in 1987. This quote here is essentially the focus of the film I Am Not Your Negro, which is a documentary based on this unfinished book and Baldwin's efforts during the civil rights movement. As breathtaking as this quote is, I think the part that gets to me the most is the fact that it's challenging the reader or the viewer to actively confront the reality of the messed up history of this country, whether they are ready for that reflection or not.
So, growing up as a black person in America, you don't get the luxuries of learning the resilience of our people. Mm-mm. Our efforts outside of the civil rights movement are oftentimes swept under the rug. Why is it that out of all the great things that our people have done throughout the development of this country, we only get to learn about the same two things?
Slavery and civil rights. Why can't we learn about the things like Black Wall Street in Tulsa, or the Tuskegee Airmen, or about how the Black Panther Party took a role in medical research? Why don't we get to learn about the black women that fought so hard for women as a whole, but also the right to work and the right to vote? Why don't we get to learn about the LGBTQ leaders who paved the way for many freedoms we all enjoy today? Black history is a story of strength as much as it is a story of struggle. Why is it that every time a black person has a valid complaint about the systems that were built on our backs, but not for us, rebutted with, "But slavery was 400 years ago."
So, as a people, black folks are mad. Mm-hmm. We are fed up. And we want change. Mm-hmm. In today's episode, we'll talk about the brave history of black folks in America.
And provide the facts to back it up.
So sit back,
relax,
and let's get into it. All right, so out of everything you've learned about black history, whether you learned it in school or outside of school, what or who was the one thing that stuck with you?
The one person who has stuck with me since the minute I learned about her was Miss Angela Davis of the Black Panther Party. She was a 20-year-old woman in the midst of everything going on during the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. She studied at UC San Diego, later became an educator at UC Davis. Mm-hmm. Okay, she is the definition of a black woman mm-hmm. who steps up during a time of adversity to represent the black community, her black brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. and just really put herself on the front lines of literal danger during that time. To just speak up and stand up what she believes in.
Exactly.
So, just seeing her being a powerful black woman figure, although I don't know her personally, she has made a great impact in my life. Mm-hmm. And, excuse me, I want to be everything that she is. Brave, mm-hmm. educated, mm-hmm. empowered, strong, beautiful, exactly. A boss. May I go on? Because I can't.
You can.
I can't. But yeah, just to put it in short, Miss Angela Davis, just thank you so much for everything that you have done and continue to do. Because mind you, she's still on the ground.
Exactly.
Marching for Black Lives Matter.
Exactly.
I wonder how hurt she is to see that throughout all her work that she did in the 60s, she's just got to get up and do it again mm-hmm. at the big age of 70.
Exactly.
Crazy.
Ridiculous.
How about you?
Oh, wait, and before we get to mine, let's talk about her hair, because I live.
Beautiful.
Okay?
There's not one hair that's out of place.
At all. It's perfectly
beautiful,
shaped.
Beautiful, coiffed, all of that.
Exactly.
Gorgeous.
All right. Mine's would have to be learning about Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the bombing that happened to them in 1921, damn near 100 years ago.
Right.
Just to know that in their little town that they literally had everything, school, movie theater, offices of many kinds.
Right.
To know what could have been from that if it wasn't wiped away like that.
Right.
And also to know that like the generational wealth that could have came from that, that definitely would have helped our people. To my knowledge, I don't think that no other town has rebuilt like how Black Wall Street was. But hey, y'all listeners, if y'all know of a town that has, let me know, because I'll pack my bags up and move there right now.
We will leave right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Like, all right, so what else is there? Oh, how shocked were you when you found out that the Underground Railroad wasn't a real Underground Railroad?
Y'all, I was a whole fool in school.
Okay?
So, to what I, okay, I'm going to sound so foolish for this. And I realized this, but mind you, I was like young, like elementary school age, learning about the Underground Railroad. And I really thought that it was an actual train track from the south to the north. And Harriet Tubman was a conductor of the train, that she was the first African-American train conductor.
Same.
That never came out of anybody's mouth. That was my assumption.
No, I legit thought the same thing.
Right. And when I found out that it wasn't that, I was really hurt.
I was shocked.
Because I made up this whole story.
Exactly. But I mean, can you really blame us? Because in elementary school, they like
hyped it up.
Exactly. They ran with it. Underground Railroad. Yeah. You know, Harriet, she freed the slaves.
Right.
In the underground. I'm like, okay, so it has to be a train.
Exactly. Or so, I thought it was like a tunnel, which it was that kind of idea.
It was a tunnel.
It was that kind of idea. And not to say that the entire situation wasn't impactful and empowering, but I just was. We were really misled as children.
Exactly. And that'll do it, this damn school system that they got out here.
Right. Poor things. And it's easy to learn the misconstrued part of it. But not to say, too, there had to be a point in which they told us that this isn't a train and that this didn't include train tracks and a railroad, you know. But I think just as children learning about this, this being such a complex topic, you know, the children's imagination is bound to take us some places.
Okay.
I saw Harriet Tubman in a conductor's uniform. That's what I pictured.
Like.
But it was also empowering as an adult to learn that it was, in fact, not a train, mind you. And that what she did was a miraculous act of selflessness.
Very.
And again, Black girl magic, like doing,
like, come on,
doing what a Black woman does.
Exactly.
Standing up for her brothers and sisters and
always
everybody
in all ways. Okay.
Thank you. Yes. Did you hear about the Black community that was standing in New York City before Central Park was there?
Yes, I did.
Again, similar thing.
Shook.
Right, similar thing to Tulsa. Can you believe?
I can believe it because
right.
Look at the history.
Right.
But it's like, damn.
Does Black excellence, like, does that hurt y'all that
They
much?
Try to wipe it away so much, water it down with everything they have in them. It's crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
And I hope to this day that we can develop and build an empire that, you know, that would have came from Tulsa or would have came from that area that was where Central Park is now. I want to see a town, a city of Black excellence up and down the walls of just generational wealth. I want to see family practices. I want to see family pharmacies. I want to see family businesses, family realtors, insurance. Like every daily thing that a person
everything
would need.
Everything. Black.
Black owned. Black owned. And I feel like, especially in Nevada, honestly, I felt like it was a little hard to find Black-owned businesses, but, you know, luckily, as we mentioned in the last episode, we got, like, highlights and, like, screenshots of, like, the Black-owned places, so now it's a little bit easier, and I think as well with the Black Lives Matter movement being so, you know, dominant right now, mm-hmm. a lot of companies in general are highlighting mm-hmm. their black employees or sister companies that involve a black person in a position of power.
Yeah.
I feel like as a child, if I had seen that in, you know, in real life, not in a textbook, that would have been so much more impactful to my life.
Oh, most definitely.
Right. So, yeah. So we're going to get on the topic of Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. How old were you when you first learned about Juneteenth?
I had to have been somewhere between, I'll say four through seven. Mm-hmm. Because I remember going down to my grandparents all the time, or either talking to them on the phone. And around that, you know, around that day when Juneteenth is celebrated, mm-hmm. you know, I ask them how they're doing or what's going on or whatever. And it's always, and they're in Barstow, by the way, y'all. Mm-hmm. Grandma will always say something like, you know, I'm going down to the Juneteenth celebration.
I'm like, okay. I love that.
I'm like, come on, Barstow. I'm like, listen, I was four or seven.
So you were
supposed to
be really young.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been new about it. What about you?
I'm so disappointed. I learned about Juneteenth when I was 18 years old. Yep.
Gasp.
Yeah, in my first ethnic studies class was when I first learned about it.
Really?
I was so pissed because I learned about everything else in that time period, mm-hmm. except for Juneteenth.
Except for that.
I feel like the way that I was taught in school was 1863, Emancipation Proclamation. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Abe. All right, let's keep it pushing. Baby, it wasn't like that.
At all.
It wasn't like that. So I just really quick want to break down the sequence of events leading up to Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. Because I want to know how old y'all were when y'all found about Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. Or if this is your first time hearing about it.
Right. You know, I was actually, like, on social media and stuff like that as mm-hmm. of this past Juneteenth because of everything that's been going on. I was shocked that not a lot of people knew about Juneteenth. Or the people who were, like, talking it down, saying, like, right. Like, no one's ever done it. I'm like, what?
Well,
like,
then let's
I've
start.
I've been knew about Juneteenth.
Right.
But I guess I'll be here to help educate you.
Right. Although you should do the work yourself.
Exactly.
Anyway. But, yeah. So, essentially what happened was in 1863, Abraham Lincoln delivered the Emancipation Proclamation, which essentially said no more slavery. Mm-hmm. The South was pissed because that was their economy mm-hmm. right there. And so essentially what happens now is you have about a year until the 13th Amendment is ratified. Mm-hmm. And so with the 13th Amendment, it bans slavery unless it's an involuntary servitude, which is prison, essentially.
Yeah.
So that was in January of 1865. Now, going into June 1865, some horses come into Galveston, Texas, and let the slaves know, by the way, y'all been free for some time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a slave during that time, what would you have done if you had been working for the man for longer than you had to, and you're finally finding out that you're a free woman? What would you have done?
Let me just put this little disclaimer out, because I don't want anybody to get mixed up with my words, mm-hmm. although I do not know what they, you know, went through.
Right.
But just thinking in my mind as of now, I've probably been pissed as
of course.
Hell.
Yeah.
Like, are you serious right now? Mm-hmm. Like, 2 years ago? Like, I just wasted 2 years of my life when right. we've been free.
Exactly. And right. I feel like what came from that, after Juneteenth, you start to see mass incarceration yes. in the country.
Yes.
And, you know, this isn't much of a shocker, but it hasn't stopped yet. So, did they really abolish slavery?
Right.
Did we really let go of that?
Right.
Because you still got the sweatshops in the prisons
mm-hmm.
making way less than a dollar.
Okay.
And so, back to Juneteenth, I just feel like it's a huge slap in the face. It's so disrespectful to not educate your students on Juneteenth, because that was a pivotal moment in our history. Mm-hmm. And whether y'all like this or not, Black history is American history.
Exactly.
So you better tell it. Exactly. You know? And so, and for the people who said, well, why is it all of a sudden that we're celebrating Juneteenth? Why is that even a question to you?
Right.
I feel like the question should be, why weren't we celebrating
exactly.
Juneteenth? Why weren't we educated on this subject? Mm-hmm. And from now forward, every June 19th, best believe, I'm causing some ruckus. I'm walling out on Juneteenth because that is, as a people, that is our day as Black folks to be liberated, mm-hmm. to be empowered at the fact that we are not in chains anymore. Although, and we do know the 13th Amendment has its loophole, but, you know, you see mass amounts of people who are broken free.
Mm-hmm.
From the chains of slavery. Yeah. And that, and like I just said, it's a pivotal moment in American history. Why didn't we learn about this?
Mm-hmm.
And you know how you said you learned about it from family. You did mention a while ago that you had Black history classes in high school.
I did.
And I feel like that is super beneficial to anyone's development to learn that part of history. Did you learn about it in that class?
I did not. And that's what I was going to say. I did not learn about Juneteenth in, like, no... If I'm, like, recalling right, I didn't learn about Juneteenth in no history class.
That's bum.
It's crazy.
What?
So it's, like, even, like... Within my African-American history class in high school, you still don't even get down, like, you know, to the nitty-gritty of Black history. Like, they teach you the surface stuff.
Right.
Not the whole thing.
And you know what really sucks, too, is you got to pay to learn.
Yes.
Which, I mean, I don't care how much it costs. If it's my Black history, then...
I will learn.
I will learn. And learn. I'll pay for it.
Exactly.
You know? But... So the last thing I want to cover before we get finished today is the argument of, well, slavery was 400 years ago, and that's almost always in response to a Black person having a valid complaint about the system that wasn't built for us,
mm-hmm.
but built on our backs.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that argument?
It angers me when I see somebody say things like that, because... Mm-hmm. As we all know, not even like 100 years ago, we mm-hmm. just had civil rights movements and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's like stuff is still fresh, no matter whether it was 400 years ago, 500 years ago. Black people have been fighting literally ever since we came over to this country, still to this day.
In 1619.
Exactly. Still to this day, mm-hmm. to be equal with our counterparts of America.
Right.
So it's like, why won't y'all just try to understand from somebody else's point of view? Mm-hmm. Even though you'll never get the whole picture or what it feels like,
mm-hmm.
just at least try to be a little empathetic.
Right, the allyship would mean everything from those who are not African American.
Yeah.
And I think the part that really, really upsets me the most is the fact that there's always, well, what about my, what about white privilege? Like, that's not real. Or, what about my rights? Where are my civil mm-hmm. rights? And I feel like that is usually coming from the white side of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to be very blunt. I actually have pictures that I will post on our sites. It's from the 1960s. The sign says, where are white civil rights? And then I have a screenshot from this year about White Lives Matter. So it's the same battle that we've been battling since day one.
Mm-hmm.
The roles haven't switched. But what I will say, though, and you covered this on our last episode,
mm-hmm.
How there are still white folks in, you know, older ages who are coming out and supporting us.
Mm-hmm.
When I see those people, it gives me hope.
It does.
Truthfully. Because did you expect to see all of that?
I didn't. And like, as I said, especially with the older ones, because they were mm-hmm. within the civil rights movements and all that stuff.
Right.
And when everything was segregated
right.
down south. Because I don't believe everything was like as segregated on the West Coast as it was down south. Of mm-hmm. course, we had our issues and stuff like that. But down south,
I feel like it was just very prolific down there. Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, every time. And I had this problem when I did a speech on this topic in my communications class,
mm-hmm.
and I got a comment, have we not made any progress since the civil rights movement? I get that all the time. So, as far as legislation is concerned, duh. Yeah, there has been progress, but there's two sides of legislation. There's the written and there's the action.
Mm-hmm.
Have we been treated as equals?
No, ma'am.
No. Just because it's written on paper doesn't mean that it's followed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the part that irritates me the mm-hmm. most. And the thing is, we're not being ungrateful of those who made the sacrifice in the 60s
yeah.
and in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s and mm-hmm. right now.
Exactly.
And all the years before that.
Exactly.
We're not ungrateful. What we are is upset at the fact that time and time again, here we are.
Decade after decade.
Right.
Same
message. So my answer to that is, yeah, there has been some sort of change, and we're very grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
However, has there really been evolution?
Exactly.
And I feel like when the people who ask that question to me, shame on you, because you mm-hmm. need some self-reflection, because have you evolved?
Exactly. And also, like, I want to add to that, because, like, no, nothing has changed. Because I had a conversation with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't Black. They're like, I thought things changed, you know, after the civil rights movement.
Right.
I was like, no, because, like, being young, of course, being young and inquisitive, I would ask my grandpa, like, after learning about such things in class, ask my mm-hmm. grandpa about things. You know, he told me a story where he was racially profiled.
Right.
Asked my father about some things. He told me about times, like, when he was discriminated against. And it's like, you have two people born mm-hmm. in different decades going through things
mm-hmm.
after civil rights movement,
and we have our own experiences.
Exactly. And that's what I was about to add on to it. I have my own experiences.
Right.
I have, maybe, like, my older cousins, they have their own experiences.
Right.
So it's like, no, nothing has changed after the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. Just because it doesn't happen to you
doesn't mean it don't happen.
Exactly. Like, ask other people around the country, because I'm pretty sure it happens every day.
We see the videos.
Exactly.
We see the footage.
Exactly.
So, you know, you're right. I feel like the human evolution needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We've had evolution on a legislation level. However, we really just need the ground to really just figure it out.
Yeah.
But back to the, well, it was 400 years ago. That irks my soul so much.
Girl.
Because, or y'all should just go back to Africa. Well,
it's like, baby, nobody asked to come over here.
Well, not only that, but, you know, due to imperialism, do I even know what part of Africa I'm from?
Right.
Africa is a continent.
Exactly.
And a big one. How am I supposed to figure out where my ancestral line came from?
And it's like, it all got erased, of course. Like, a lot of people don't or can't trace back to their roots.
Right.
Because of that.
Right.
Like,
colonialism.
Exactly. We don't know. At all. Like, no. y'all have...
I saw the 11th generation of Abraham Lincoln.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's a luxury that they
exactly.
have.
Exactly. They right. have that luxury to trace back to their roots.
Right. So I feel like, you know, don't come at me with that. It was 400 years ago. Baby,
don't.
1619, yeah, it was the start of it. But I'm gonna let you know, every single day after that, ain't nothing has changed and ain't shit sweet about it.
And
I'm so sorry. So, and another thing we got to talk about, and I'm glad that we have a month, but Black History Month. Kayla, you have a good point to Black History Month.
Please, I do.
Tell the audience.
So, I learned this actually watching. It was the Proud Family, guys, as I mentioned mm-hmm. in the last episode. You guys should watch that episode of the Proud Family.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't know that Black History Month actually started off as Negro History Week.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, right?
A week.
7 days, y'all. Mm-hmm. Like, out of everything that has happened to Black people in this country, we only got a week
seven
at
days?
First.
Damn.
And it's crazy because ever since, or they actually picked that week to cater to Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass.
Wow. Just them two?
Exactly.
Where are Black women at? Malcolm X, you were onto something when you said that.
Exactly.
Okay.
But since 1976, every president since then has, February has been Black History Month.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. And let me say something about that. My mom, she wasn't even a teenager when this got changed to Black History Month.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
So it was called Negro History Week.
When she was a little girl.
Oh, my gosh.
When she was a little girl.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
But it was 400 years ago, right?
Right.
Right.
Like, this is what I'm saying. This is why it pisses people off.
Like,
or at least
Wall
Black
Street
people off.
Was how long ago? Damn near 100 years ago. But it was 400 years ago, right?
Right.
Breonna Taylor. Current news, but that was 400 years ago,
couple
right?
months ago, right? Right.
Right. So that's why we're mad, right?
Exactly.
So this episode was really catered to the allies out there who don't identify and who are not African American. We wanted y'all to really hear and understand, Kayla and I, our point of view on this whole thing. Like we said, we did our research on this subject matter. We didn't just pull this stuff out of our behinds.
Exactly. Even after we said in the first part of this series that we weren't going to educate y'all, we decided to give y'all a little bit of education.
Because you want to know what? You want to know what flows through my bloodstream is the black girl magic. And what isn't the black girl magic? The will to educate.
Period.
And so here we are. Exactly. Now, take everything that we told y'all and run with it. Educate your friends. Educate your family. Start celebrating Juneteenth. That was a very pivotal moment in our history. And for the rest of our lives and all the generations to come, they need to know what our ancestors had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
They need to rejoice and sing.
Exactly.
Because we have the right to celebrate Juneteenth. We have the right to be happy about this.
And don't just celebrate our black history-ness in just a month. Or just the day Juneteenth. Celebrate that every single day. Every single day you're black.
Every day.
And nothing will change about that.
And that's the thing about this whole thing. Even if I could, I wouldn't take this melanin away.
At all. No matter what my people.
I wouldn't take my curls away. I wouldn't take this nose away.
Exactly.
I will stay black on black on black on black.
Till the day I die.
Period. That's nothing I would ever want to change about myself. So with that being said, thank you guys so much for tuning into our conversation. We got one more part to tie up our Black Lives Matter conversation. Thank y'all to everyone who has been listening.
Thanks, family. And to our new followers, y'all. We see y'all.
Oh, my God. Instagram. Our little 40 followers.
Thanks.
See, I would rather have 40 people who care and who listen than 1,000 people who don't.
Thank you.
And y'all mean the world. Hurt Platform, we're taking off. By storm.
Exactly.
And after the Black Lives Matter podcast, after we finish up this conversation, there is still so much more work to do.
Mm-hmm.
We will be covering mental health, self-love, healthy eating. What are you up to? What are you watching on Netflix? What makes you happy? This is a platform for everything and anything. Kayla, what do you have to say?
Again, thank you to my family. Thank you to my friends. Thank you to everybody who shared anything that had to do with us.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're helping us. Thank you for taking the time out your day to listening to us. Because you don't have to, but you do.
But you do. You show up and show out every time. So,
don't forget to follow us on Instagram and on Twitter.
We'll add it in the show notes if you don't know yet.
Yes.
Thank you to our one listener in Germany.
Oh, yeah.
Guten Tag.
First of all, who are you? Who are you?
Hello.
I need to know who you are, because I know I had some family over there, but they're back in the States now.
Isn't that crazy?
Exactly.
I need to know who you are.
Exactly.
I need to know
who you are. Comment on Instagram who you are, or Twitter, or call me.
Something. Guten Tag. Good day to you. But yes, everybody, have a blessed day. Stay black, stay beautiful, stay empowered, stay femme, stay wonderful. All the above.
Say everything.
We are so appreciative of everything that y'all have done for us. We have nothing but the utmost form of love and gratitude.
Oh, and go listen to a song by Earth Gang.
Oh my gosh, guys.
You have to watch the video to it as well. What
was it? I'm so sorry, y'all. We just watched the video today.
It was so good.
Meditate by Earth Gang featuring J.I.Z.
You guys have to listen to it.
That's black boy magic right
there. Period.
Beautiful. Black boy excellence, black everything. So again, support all things black, black creators, black business, all that good stuff. Black on black on black on black on black.
Black on black.
Have a beautiful, wonderful day.
Love y'all
so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.